Our gospel lesson today is a continuation of our parables. We are in Luke's gospel again, and we're in the 12th chapter, so we've rewinded. Starting in the 13th verse, I encourage you to follow along, as some of you may take it in visually, others of you take it in auditorily, but all of us, I think, could take it in to see the dynamic at play here as Jesus tells this parable. Luke's gospel, 12th chapter, page 74 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to him, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back when I was in college, I was a business major, and I had a friend, a classmate, and he said, "Patrick, I want you to come over and have dinner with my wife and myself. We have a great business opportunity to tell you about." Well, I was young and somewhat naive, and I said, "Sure, that sounds great." I went over to their house, and they said, "Well, thank you," and they were very formal. And they said, "You know, we've been working with this organization, I won't name what it is, and we think you might really be interested in it." So they told me, it's a Christian-based organization. They gather nationally, and they have worship services. And they talk about the abundance of God. They talk about how God is good to all that love God. And they really give thanks to God for what they receive. And what they receive is abundance and wealth. So it's great. Well, then they went on to show me these videos. In each video, there were these people, testimonials, talking about how they started with this organization and were blown away by how quickly they made an income that they didn't have to work their other job anymore, and they were making tens of thousands of dollars a month, and it was amazing. And then they went and they showed their lifestyle, and it was something like watching, remember the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, led by David Leitch, Robin Leitch. And he talked about all the stuff that they had, and they looked at these huge houses that they had money to buy now, and these boats and all these recreational toys that they had. My friend said, "Isn't that wonderful? It brings together our faith and helps you be an entrepreneur. And you make lots of money really fast." And I was like, "Wow, this is great. What do I need to do?" So then he walked over across the room and he opened a door to a large storage closet. And guess what was in there? Cleaning supplies. Lots and lots of cleaning supplies and household goods. You know what it is. It's a multi-level marketing. It's a pyramid scheme. Well, there was something as I left my friend's house to feel like first I was being used because he wanted to put me on the pyramid, right? But the other thing is I just felt that there was this disconnect because in all those testimonials, I never heard a connection between how these people were giving thanks to God and how they were giving that abundance away. It was all about feeding themselves. Now, I didn't get a full picture, and I admit that, but I do sense that there was this thought that, of course, has been around for a long time. It's the prosperity gospel, you know it. It's been around for decades in its full force. More money, more stuff, all under the idea that you just get rich quick if you work hard enough, and you can have a life of leisure and enjoy it. Needless to say, I told my friend, no, I'm not going to have part of that, and I then went on to, well, here, which is quite the opposite end of the spectrum. But it is a very enticing thing. The rich fool in this text today, he kind of gets a quick rich, he gets rich quick, he has a bumper crop, he doesn't expect it. It's an abundance, and he doesn't have a sense about how to use it well. His solution? Well, he consults the best financial advisor he could find. Himself. Soul. Now, that language is key here, because that word, whenever someone self-refers, like soul, or talks to themselves in the Bible, that is cue, friends, that this person is not talking to God, and therefore not involving God in their decision. Soul, what am I going to do? Oh, I know what I will do. I'm going to take this bumper crop, and I'm just going to tear down the smaller house, barn, and build a bigger one or many larger ones, and I'm just going to store that grain. And you know what? I'm going to live off that bumper crop, and it's going to make me eat well, drink well, and just be happy for the rest of my life. He was rich toward himself. He was poor toward God. Interesting thing is, in this parable, we don't see it in a lot of parables, God shows up by name, which I think maybe elevates the intensity of this parable. Jesus speaks about wealth and about money almost as much as he talks about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So I think it's right. God comes in person here. And he says, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? A friend in this congregation reminded me of a quote the other day that you don't see U-Hauls following a hearse. And I think that's true. This man was under the illusion that he had lots of years to live. And I can tell you from personal experience of having a close friend die this week, two close friends die this week. We're not guaranteed life. We're not guaranteed the number of our days. The only life we are guaranteed is eternal life in Christ that doesn't reside fully here. Whose will they be? The man I mentioned to you, his name was Rex Bell. Personal friend. First Presbyterian church my family attended. We started going to his church at the time my brother was sick. My brother does not live. He died when he was almost four, almost three. This man ministered to our family in extraordinary ways. This man stayed friends with our family many years. This man, in many ways, when he preached, he'd walk around like this. And so I do this, Rex, in honor of you. Because his life was rich. God had given him much. The church he started ministering to had 20 old ladies. It was a mission church out in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains in a little town called Enumclaw, Washington. And those women prayed, and he came there. That church grew to be 300 families, something like that. I've got to consult the experts in the room. Mom, where are you? A lot. It was huge. It was bursting at the seams. But despite all he gained, he never lost sight of how the abundance of riches God had given him were to be spent. This man served faithfully at that church. He always remembered the people that were not the most noticed or the most important. After he retired, he would invest his days mentoring immigrant children. He would befriend youth that were in trouble, endangered in his neighborhood. He would go, and he would go to different the schools where his wife worked and his churches, and he would pull weeds. And he would interact with the people there. The teachers, the students, church members. He opened a counseling service for people who could not pay. His life showed how to be rich toward God. He knew his life came from here. Christ's life resonated in him. It was visible. You felt it in his presence. You felt it in his embrace. You felt it, and you knew he was giving it to you. My friend is not a super saint. He won't be written up in books. I imagine there'll be a lot of people at the funeral. But one life has affected so many. I still know people this day who grew up with Rex's care, who, if they hadn't, their lives would have taken a very different trajectory. They would have been on the streets. They would have been into violence. And now they're contributing members of society who are carrying on his legacy. How to be rich toward God. Rex didn't wait around. He didn't sit down and go, God, what do you want me to do? I'll sit and pine on it for 20 years. No. He got rich quick. You notice in this parable, the rich becomes an adjective, from an adjective describing a man to an attitude, to an action toward God. Are we going to live with the hope of the adjective? Are we going to live the hope that we become the verb? We become rich toward God quick. That means not waiting around for, oh, someday when I've got it all, when I've secured my livelihood, when I can look into my future and go, it's all done, got it, I can sit back, I'll eat, drink, be merry, and then, oh yeah, I'll serve the church, or I'll serve in the community, or I'll serve other people. No, no, no. Flip that around. Because in serving, in giving, in living rich toward God, things flow. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not a recipe for prosperity. It's an orientation toward being rich toward God that expands our understanding of what's possible through one little life. Your little life. My little life. This meal today, I hope you would take that bread, and this is your life. Think of it. This morsel nourishes you, nourishes another, and another, and another. This life, the blood from Christ coursing through you, the life that is meant to enrich. Today is the day. Today is the day to take the tide from what is happening where one life ruins the lives of 30 people and 50 more. And our one lives start to change all that. Our one lives don't deprive life, it gives life. Our one life doesn't show the ways of violence, it shows the ways of peace. Our one life doesn't show how that we are biased and discriminatory and prejudiced and hateful toward this group or that group. Our one life shows how we love all people, and God loves all people. Will you be that one life? Will you be? Will I be? Will I have the courage? Oh, I pray so. But it needs to start now. Right now. Right now. Thanks be to God who gives us the fullness of life in Jesus Christ, calling us to live that life richly toward God.